Our meditation today is in Psalm 58. Please turn there with me. And we'll note, again, this is dedicated to the chief musician. It's the second one in a row that David noted, "Do not destroy." And it is a miktam, or a meditation of David. Holy Spirit moving him to write, "Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? No. In heart, you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them flow away as waters which run continually. When he bends his bow, let his arrows be as if cut in pieces. Let them be like a snail which melts away as it goes, like a stillborn child of a woman that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, as in his living and burning wrath." "The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, 'Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is a God who judges in the earth.'" These are fearsome words, and they are unpleasant words, but they are profitable to think upon. There is a reason that the Holy Spirit wanted David to mark this out, that it should not be destroyed, that it should be kept, it should be preserved, it should be put in the corpus in the midst of God's own hymn book. And it is this: we tend, with our wicked hearts, to think we are not wicked. We tend to think, with our wicked hearts, we can go on and do as we please. We think, in our wicked hearts, there will be no consequences. God does not see, or God will not act. And this is a firm corrective to that. The plain fact is that the description here in the first five verses of the wicked is true of every single person conceived by natural means. This is true of every single person born into this world who comes about conceived by those natural means. This wicked heart is wicked even in the womb. Each particular person, from the point of conception, is a moral agent and under the judgment of God. We have the responsibility and we have the liability, that's a good word for it, of Adam's sin and of Adam's guilt. We share in that. And then, with our wicked hearts, we start sinning as soon as we can. Sins come from a heart of sinfulness, and that they do, even from a very tender young age. There is no such thing in Scripture as a so-called age of accountability. You will search in vain for it. No, rather, as David says just a few psalms before in Psalm 51, we're born in iniquity. We are conceived in sin. And so all this that David is moved to write about, all this that the Holy Spirit would have us to see about the judgment of God, is that which justly, fairly belongs to you. And it belongs to me. We are dealing with a holy God. We are dealing with a righteous and just God. He knows all. He sees all. And any conflict there may be between us and his eternally and perfectly holy character is an affront is an offense, is deadly treason. What shall we do? What shall we do? Can we pay the penalty? No. No. The smallest sin against an infinitely good, infinitely holy God is of infinite guilt. You're a finite creature. You can never pay that off. What hope is there? There are a couple of things I would have you to see, friends. Our Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, after men had returned from having seen him on the road to Emmaus, met with and startled his disciples. And we read about this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. There in verse 44, he says that the law and the prophets and the Psalms speak of him. The Psalms speak of Jesus. All the Psalms, every Psalm. What do we see of Jesus here? Well, elsewhere we sometimes sing from the Psalms of mercy and of justice. O Lord, I'll sing to thee. Let's first sing of his mercy. Jesus was born as the God-man, the mediator, who came to save his people. We'll see this a bit more fully in the sermon this morning, or this afternoon. He lived a perfect life. Adam fell, and that was put on our account. Jesus, as the second Adam, as Paul talks about in Romans 5, has fulfilled all righteousness for the sake of his people. Everyone found in this second Adam, everyone found by covenant bond in and with Jesus, has his righteousness, not the sin, not the guilt of Adam. And he died, taking upon himself all this judgment that we see in verses 6 through 9 there. He took upon himself, within the space of a few hours, all that which his people deserve for them, in their place. And his Father, having justly punished to the uttermost, cannot, will not justly punish that in those who are found in Jesus. And how do we get this righteousness? How do we get this forgiveness and atonement? How do we get this union with Jesus? It is simple. Simple to say. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. See your sin, cry out to him to save you from your sin. For he saves to the uttermost every single person who comes to him. Well, that's the mercy. What about the justice? Those who insist that they are righteous enough on their own, and they're fools to do so. Those who continue on their way, persisting in justifying themselves but piling up wickedness before God, shall come before the throne of Jesus when he returns the last day. And despite all their protestations, despite all their trying to justify themselves, they shall hear these words, "Depart from me, you doers of wickedness. I never knew you." They shall be as Jesus himself in a parable that we'll look at weeks and weeks, maybe months from now, in Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep and goats. Will separate. He will separate. And the goats will go to everlasting judgment. Judgment that is far worse than what we read here that David records. And the conclusion of the matter is that in verses 10 and 11, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. That is our portion. But it's a righteousness that is not of ourselves. It is righteousness from another. Righteousness earned for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely he is a God who judges in the earth.